Welcome to Beef and Forage Roundup with host Chantal McCrae. This podcast is a production of Manitoba Beef and Forage Initiatives, created to share information with farmers, producers, and agriculture enthusiasts, and to showcase the important work that is happening at MBFI. Our podcasts drop on the first and third Wednesday of each month. We will be sharing information through interviews, General Manager Mary Jane Orr, project leads for various projects, MBFI team members, speakers from our extension events, industry leaders, and industry suppliers. This podcast will dig deep into on-farm research and field testing practices related to beef cattle and forage production and efficiency and sustainability of practice in the agricultural industry in Manitoba. We will be sharing information on upcoming training and workshops, field and farm demonstration tours, education materials and events at MBFI, as well as producer profiles from around the province and information on their own trials, challenges, innovation, and results. We encourage you to browse our social media accounts and website for links to more information on projects, upcoming events, and important deadlines. Information on our social accounts and website can be found following the show and in the show notes. As always, we encourage you to email us if you have feedback, questions, or topic suggestions for the show at information@mbfi.ca. Cam Ross comes from a cow-calf operation north of Minnedosa, Manitoba, where he still farms with his family today. Cam has a degree in environmental studies from the University of Manitoba and started with Ducks Unlimited as a summer student in 2017. He worked a summer with MBFI in 2016 as well, and then moved into a full-time position with Ducks in 2020, where he now manages all of Ducks' properties across southwest Manitoba. This management includes seeding down new tame stands, sod seeding older native stands, the hay tender program, and grazing program, among other things. Alex Griffiths grew up and still helps farm on a cow-calf operation west of Onanole, Manitoba, right up against the south side of Riding Mountain National Park. He graduated from the University of Manitoba with an agronomy major and a soil science minor. He has been working with Ducks Unlimited Canada since January of 2020, managing the forage program and winter wheat programs, which provide financial incentives and agronomic advice for producers growing these crops. Welcome to the podcast today, Cam and Alex. Thank you both so much for joining me on this very snowy day to do this recording. We're going to start today's episode with a bit about your background in agriculture and what led each of you to where you are today.
I'm Cam, and I grew up on a cattle farm just north of Minnedosa. I still farm with my family there. Cow-calf operation. After high school, I went to University at U of M and took a degree in environmental studies, where I started working as a summer student with Ducks Unlimited, with the Upland team, and then did 3 years there, which then turned into a full-time position, looking after all of our long-term hold properties, and now running the sod seed program here at Ducks Unlimited.
Perfect. Thanks, Cam.
I'm Alex. And I grew up on a cow-calf operation against the south side of Riding Mountain National Park, just a little west of Clear Lake. I also graduated from the University of Manitoba with an agronomy major and a soil science minor. And I always loved working with cows, but quickly realized that unless you farm or work on a cattle farm, there actually aren't that many opportunities in the industry compared to being like a grain crop agronomist. So when the job at Ducks came up to run our forage program, it was a great way to become more involved and knowledgeable in livestock production. And I've been with Ducks for over 4 years now, and I still help out on my parents' farm in my spare time.
Great. Thanks, Alex. Welcome both of you to the show. We are talking today about two Ducks Unlimited Canada programs, sod seeding acres and the hay establishment trial from the Parkland Crop Diversification Foundation at Roblin. For our listeners that may not be familiar with Ducks Unlimited Canada's agriculture programs, can you give some background on how DU agrologists work with Manitoba farmers?
For sure. So Ducks agrologists manage programs that participating producers can receive financial benefits from. Programs are usually related to perennial forages. So Ducks agrologists are knowledgeable in all aspects of forages, whether that's seeding down new hay or pasture or managing your already established grasses. We love helping folks, especially with interesting or tough questions that come up. So we always have time for emails, texts, or a phone call. And in the summertime, we spend most of our time in the field. So if you need boots on the ground, we usually aren't too far away.
Perfect. Thanks. Diving into the sod seeding, Cam, can you tell me generally what sod seeding is and walk me through the process?
Yeah, so we at DU have actually been sod seeding since around 2015. And essentially what sod seeding is, so when you have, say, like a diminished pasture that's just mostly grass, doesn't have much legume composition to it, you can go in with a sod seed drill, seed legumes in to spruce that pasture up a bit without actually having to terminate the stand completely. So this can save you time and money. We usually, before we go in and seed, we like to manage the property the year before, whether through haying it or grazing it. So you can get rid of sort of that duff layer of grass, and you'll get good seed to soil contact when you go to seed in the spring. We have found when seeding it, it does take a good 2 to 3 years to really see it establish itself in the stand. So it is definitely a patient game that you want to play with it.
Can you tell me what the sod seeding program is that Ducks offers and what the objectives are?
Yes, we started this program last year. So it's a 10-year program where we provide financial assistance to help with the establishment cost of seeding and the rentals of drills, and also provide tips on seeding and grazing management to help the producer on their farm.
And why is this such a big focus for Ducks Unlimited?
We want to help producers with the cost of seeding. It is getting more and more each year. And we also want to give tips on how to get more out of their pastures. And in the end, this is all creating better diversity of plants and animals across Southwest Manitoba. So that's one of the main focuses for us.
How many acres have been sod seeded through this program in Manitoba so far?
So last year, we covered around 315 acres in the program, working with 6 producers in Southwest Manitoba. And like I said, we started sod seeding our own properties 2015. I've done about 1,300 acres since then. So that's usually we're seeding 2 to 3 properties a year if we can. And that's just with a little 14-foot drill. So it does take some time to seed them. But yeah, we've had lots of experience in sod seeding over the past couple of years.
And if there's listeners who are interested, who is eligible to apply and what does the application process look like for producers?
So yeah, anybody that are located within our target areas in Southwest Manitoba, and you can usually find that map on our website, are eligible. And if you are slightly outside those areas and wetlands are present on the property, we may be able to cover you as well. It's a very easy application process. If you plan to seed this spring, you can contact us now, get on our list. And then once you do seed, we will come out and confirm that you seeded. And we'll also bring a contract out. We'll review that contract with the producer. Usually takes 15 to 20 minutes, so not long. And then once we get that signed, within a couple of weeks, the producer will receive the one-time payment. So very quick and easy process going through that application.
That sounds like it. It's nice when things are quick and easy for producers because they have so many things on their plate. Tell me about the terms of the agreement and what happens if an early exit is needed.
So yeah, it is a 10-year program. And within that 10 years, there's no restrictions on grazing or haying or anything like that. What you can't do is tear it up or sprayed out. But if you do want to do that, there is a prorated buyout. So let's say after 5 years, you don't think it's productive enough, you want to restart and completely terminate the stand, you would just have to pay 50% of the original payment back to us. And then you're completely out of the contract and you're good to do whatever you like on it.
What happens if it's seeded on, say, a really dry year and it just doesn't grow? What happens then for the producer?
Like I said, you do have to be patient with these sod seeding ones. So I would recommend that, you know, maybe they wait a little bit, see if it comes next year. They can try seeding into it again. That's no problem. If you want to go over and scratch some more seed in, that's no problem at all. But yeah, being patient is good. But say after 2 or 3 years, it still doesn't come, then they would just have to buy out the contract. If they want to completely restart on it. So
that makes sense. The brochure suggests that the agreement is not tied to the land title. Why is this, and how is this beneficial to producers?
Yeah, so this just makes the application very easy. And if you do need to buy out, it makes that pretty seamless as well. And if the land were to change hands, it makes that process pretty easy as well, as it's not on the land title or anything like that.
Can a renter apply for this on behalf of the owner of the property if the owner signs off?
Yes, they can. We do have basically a permission slip, I guess you could say, that the renter would just need to sign with their landowner, and the renter would receive the payment for the contract.
Cool. What impacts does participation in this agreement have on future carbon credits?
So yeah, we don't claim any carbon credits through this program. So if a producer plans to use those credits in the future, they will still be available to them, no problem.
What support is offered to participants from Ducks Unlimited Canada through this process?
Yeah, we can provide tips on a seed mix. We don't provide an actual seed mix for them, but we can let them know the seed mix we've been using through the years and that we've tweaked to make better. We can also provide tips on how to seed, how heavy to seed, you know, what drill you need to use. And that's something I didn't mention before, actually, is for this program, it does need to be seeded with a drill. It can't be broadcasted on. You get a better chance of getting a good catch with using a drill. The contract also has a list of different grazing management techniques that you can use to get the most out of your pasture while also improving it at the same time. Because if you have sort of a pasture that's maybe just smooth brome, if you seed into it and then still you're just grazing it right to the ground or not changing your management practices, you might end up with the same thing again, right? So if you change some of those practices as well, it can definitely help make your stand last a lot longer.
And what is the amount per acre producers can expect to receive?
So last year we paid $35 per acre, and pending our budget approval, which should be in the next couple of days here, it will be $45 per acre this year.
That's a pretty good chunk of seed cost.
Yeah, with our seed cost, with the one that we've been using, we're looking usually around $30 to $35 an acre. And then usually if you have to rent a drill, that's around $15 per acre too. So you get covered for most of that, which is great.
Yeah, that is great. Is there anything else about the sod seeding program that is important for us to touch on today that we might have missed?
Yeah, so like I said before, you got to be patient with this one. You might see some tiny seedlings when you first seed it, but it does take 2 to 3 years to really show up in the stand. So you got to be patient with it. If producers are looking for a sod seeding drill to rent, I do know that some of the watersheds in Southwest Manitoba here do have a drill that's available to rent. And so it's always good to get on their list early, as it can be tied up for a lot of the spring there. And something that we've actually tried the past two falls is dormant sod seeding. So we'll go into our property and we'll wait till the soil temps are below 5 degrees Celsius, and we'll seed. And that's usually in early November, late October, depending on the weather. And we'll seed those properties. And we actually, on our first time we did it, in I guess that would be fall of 2022, and we came back to that property the previous year, and we already started to see some of the alfalfa coming up through the grass stand there. So it was a good success the first year. We tried it again this fall, so I'll be interested to see how it works. So if you find that your spring's too busy and you can't get to it, that's definitely an option that producers can use as well.
I just had a couple more questions pop into my head. Is there a specific seed mix that needs to be used, or can producers choose a seed mix from whatever company they generally would go to with whatever they want in it?
Yeah, they can choose whatever they like or whatever they want to use. Like I said, we do have a seed mix that we can recommend. I do find that, like, we've tried putting grass into our mix before, but we just don't really see it show up. I think just planting a grass into a grass doesn't really seem to work. So usually just putting legumes in there. So we, I think, do three different kinds of varieties of alfalfa, some sicer milk vetch, red clover, alsite clover, and we have put bird's foot trefoil in there, and we have tried sandfoin as well. But you probably want to use that if you're maybe sandier or gravelly land. Doesn't really do well in heavy clay loam soil. So some producers do have that gravelly sandy land, so it may work for them.
And in the, say, 2 to 3 years that they're looking at for it to establish, can they use the land for grazing and haying? Or does that land have to be stayed off of for those couple of years?
Yeah, absolutely. They can use that land however they want. Although I would recommend, especially in the first year, if you're going to graze it, do not graze it right to the ground, as you may risk ripping out those small seedlings. And then that would obviously kill the plant right away. So if you are going to graze it, maybe leave a good 6 inches of cover sort of thing, so you're not damaging those small legume seedlings.
Sounds good. And where can producers go to find out more information?
So they can go to our site at ag.ducks.ca, or they can contact me by email or by phone. My phone is 204-868-8145, and my email is c_ross@ducks.ca.
Great, thank you. And I will make sure that the website and your phone numbers and email are included into the show notes too, so that if there's listeners who missed that, they can pop into there and go find them. I think that's everything for the sod seeding. Thank you so much, Cam, for all of that information. I think it's really great to share with producers so that they know what kind of programs exist and what kind of compensation they can receive if they're going to try some of these things. So thank you so much. Switching gears, Alex, can you give me an overview of what the Hay Establishment Project is and what the objectives of this program are?
For sure. The Hay Establishment Trial that we started at PCDF in Roblin this past spring was because we run a forage program that provides cash incentives to producers for seeding new hay or pasture. And every fall, we inspect between 4,000 and 5,000 acres of newly seeded forages. And the best new establishments always kind of had similar management, things like seeding a heavy rate of perennials, not using an intercrop of oats or barley, seeding early like around May long weekend, using a field clean of perennial weeds, and blending the seed with phosphorus fertilizer, to name a few. So we decided to start a longer term trial where we can hopefully show that these well-established stands, where all of these things were put together, end up having increased production and longevity in the future years, which would probably be the main objective that we're hoping to answer.
Perfect. Thank you. What is a nurse crop and why is it a common practice to implement when establishing a perennial forage crop?
A nurse crop is seeding something like oats or barley at the same time as your new perennial forages. Usually it's at a reduced rate, like just a bushel of oats and cut for green feed, but some folks do still do a full seeding rate and combine it. It's a common practice because that way you can get a couple more bales or some bushels off of the field in the year that you're establishing your forages.
What would you say the pros and cons are of a nurse crop?
The pros of a nurse crop would be the crop yield or the green feed production in year one, as you can feasibly get 3 to 4 bales of green feed, then have new perennial hay the following year. But the cons are that all of the green feed yield comes at the cost of the perennial growth. Alfalfa and oats, they're still competing for the same sunlight, moisture, and nutrients. And putting what limited resources you get in a year towards annual plant growth just leaves less available for the perennial stand, which ideally should be around for 7 or 10 years longer than the green feed stand will be.
You guys have done some trials on this. Can you share what seeding rates were applied for the different treatments in this project?
We used 3 different seeding rates for both the nurse crop of haymaker oats and the perennial hay blend of alfalfa, brome, and timothy. The nurse crop was seeded at a full rate of 104 pounds per acre, which is about 3 bushels to the acre, a quarter rate of 26 pounds per acre, or just under 1 bushel to the acre, and then a zero rate where there was no nurse crop seeded. And the perennial hay mix was seeded at a low rate of 8 pounds per acre, a normal rate of 12 pounds per acre, and a high rate of 15 pounds per acre.
And what observations were made on the impact of yield through this?
The perennials in the no nurse crop plots grew exceptionally well and were all around 2 feet tall going into the winter. The quarter rate of oats was about half as good of growth, while the full rate of oats was very sparse. We originally intended to cut some of the nurse crops for green feed and then leave some of it to combine, but we had some delays in seeding that led to delays in harvest, so everything ended up being combined, and the quarter rate had a very poor oat yield, while the full rate was many times better.
Generally on the podcast, when we're talking about different trials and projects, we talk about the economics. So what economics were considered for this project?
Mostly just the cost difference of the inputs that was being put into the different treatments. For this trial, the perennial hayseed was about $5.25 per pound. The seed oats were $8.50 a bushel, and the cost of the phosphorus ended up being about $25 an acre. A full economic breakdown won't really be done until the project is concluded, and we actually know how the hay yielded in each treatment in the future years as well.
Do you have a timeline for the economics, and how many years are remaining on this project?
It's actually kind of up in the air, depending on how well everything goes. We're hopefully going to be doing a full 5 years of this, but if it's still looking good, we might carry it on for 7 or 10, but haven't quite ruled anything out yet, I guess, at this point.
What was the cost of seed planting and inputs for the nurse crop versus the margin at harvest time when the crop was seeded at a quarter rate?
Yeah, unfortunately, due to the delays causing the later seeding, the oat harvest sample was wet and we never had yield data taken from it, so I can't really talk margin, more just observational. That being said, the planting and the input costs would be the same across the treatments, other than the cost of the seed oats and the cost of running a combine, which is a substantial cost, especially if your oat yield is low.
And can you speak a little bit to the trade-offs economically when comparing the financial benefit of a nurse crop income for that first year weighed against what the impact of the nurse crop is on the perennial establishment and the longevity in subsequent years?
Yeah, great question, as I think this is the most important consideration that we hope to find out. Most people seed a nurse crop to get decent green feed yields in year one, ideally 3 to 4 bales to the acre, compared to your no nurse crop field giving you maybe 1 to 2 bales per acre. But does that extra 2 bales an acre in year one actually end up costing you a bale an acre or more of perennial hay production in your subsequent years? Especially when you amortize your establishment costs over 5 or 10 or however many years the hay is kept in, it might be costing you in the long run seeding with a nurse crop. So I always say if you can get by without the green feed yield in year one, seed without a nurse crop, and you can be saving on some oat seed costs as well.
And what is next for this research?
So now that the plots in Roblin are established, the plan is to have some of the plots be cut once a year and some of the others be cut twice a year. And then we'll see what the yields and the impact on stand longevity are from that. We also hope to expand this project to the Manitoba Crop Diversification Center in Carberry and see how it fares on sandier soils. But we aren't certain if that'll start this spring or next spring.
And do you know when producers could expect to see some more of those economic results? Are you thinking like in the next couple of years, you're hoping to have more of that information available, or is it kind of a 5-year goal?
I guess we'd have the full wrap up of all 5 years combined in 5 years' time. But by the time the hay is actually cut off this upcoming summer, I would imagine that we would have at least like a, I don't know, a smaller analysis that we could provide to people of how the second year hay yields were, probably by later this fall or into the early winter.
Okay, that sounds good. And is there anything else about this project that we haven't touched on today that you'd like to share?
Not really, just that if anyone's really curious about the trial and you want to see it for themselves, PCDF is just 3 miles south of Roblin and it's open to visitors. They usually have a field day around the first week of August as well, and this will be part of that tour this year. And that information can be found on their website as well.
And would you like to share contact information if there's producers that have additional questions about this project?
Absolutely. My phone number is 204-848-0514. And my email is a_griffiths@ducks.ca. And if you wanted to look at PCDF, their website is mbdiversificationcenters.ca.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Is there anything else about ducks or anything else that either of you can think of that you think is important to share with our producers?
Just, I guess you could visit our site at egg.ducks.ca, find out all about all the programs that we have. We do have a hay tender program as well. I'll do a little plug for, since I run that one as well, where we post some of our properties that will be able to be available to hay this coming summer. So,
well, thank you both so much for your time today and for joining me on the podcast to share a little bit more about ducks and some of the things that are going on in programs and projects that are happening. I really appreciate it and being able to share this with the producers.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Beef and Forage Roundup. For more information on the research projects or upcoming extension events, please visit us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at MB Beef and Forage. For full project reports and more information about MBFI, please visit our website, mbfi.ca. If you have feedback on the show, questions about content, are interested in becoming a project partner or contributor, or want to submit a proposal for a research project topic, please email information@mbfi.ca. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe to ensure you don't miss an upcoming episode. The research programs and daily operations at MBFI would not be possible without funding from the Province of Manitoba, Government of Canada, and the Sustainable Canadian Agricultural Partnership, as well as partnership with Manitoba Agriculture, Manitoba Beef Producers, and Ducks Unlimited Canada.